I want to bring your attention to point number 2E. Can you turn with me to point number 2E? That is towards the end. I'd like to bring you to the end of the message. Okay, having in mind what is at the end. End in mind. Okay, turn with me to point number 2E. Okay, let's look at this point. Why was Abram victorious? Can you see the point? Why was Abram victorious? Okay, if you can see the point, wave your hands to me. You can see that point. Point number 2E. Okay? So,
everybody must have his own. Abram, you can have victorious?
This. This is something that I like to answer and tell a story. This story is from Genesis 14 about the rescue mission of Lot. Okay? As you can see, just from the pointer itself, you can see favor. Favor by God. Blessed by Melchizedek. Okay? He's... He's being favored and he's being blessed. And look at the next point. What was reflected? It was reflected that in the spiritual realm, God did it. In the spiritual realm, God did it. Let's turn to Genesis 14. Today's passage is from Genesis 13 and Genesis 14. But just this one verse itself, Genesis 14. Verse 20. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Okay? God Most High delivered enemies into your hand. So it was God that gave him the victory. So that is God's part. Let's answer, in what way did Abram demonstrated faith? In what way did he demonstrated faith? You can look at your notes. You look at your notes that says further down that there was local leaders allied to him, trained 318 men, and manage his household. Okay, I want to bring your attention to verse 14 and 15. Chapter 14, verse 14 and 15 says, and now Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as then. He divided his forces against them by night. And they make the attack. Okay, what do we observe here? We observe that, you know, this story about this rescue mission is about the four kings that have just defeated five powerful kings. Okay, that means four versus five army. Okay, those that gone through national service, you probably know how big is a battalion, how big is an army. But what did Abraham do so that he demonstrated faith in his life? He mobilized his own people. Okay, which means that during his days, he actually trained. He's a trainer. He trained these people. And he mobilized these 318 people by faith immediately. Why? Because he have a heart for rescuing his own people. Despite Lot left him, but he still have this heart to say, I'm going to rescue my nephew. And they move by night. See, his strategies He's able to discern and say, let's do the attack by night. And he managed to defeat this four powerful army, which is led by the four kings. And they initially defeated the five kings. Okay, that is how God, and what was God's part and what was Abram's part. Okay, I'm still at 2.2e, which is, you know, this story that I share about the rescue mission of Lot. This two part, you can see that there's a man's part. Abram was victorious in the battle because he led. He did everything by faith. Okay, immediately he mobilized the 318 men and they attacked by night. He strategized the movement by night. That's the man's part, that he led the whole army of only 318 to defeat four armies. That is his part. But what was God's part? God exercised grace in partnership with his faith. He exercised faith and God partnered with him and extended this favor when he saw Abram in action. So the question is this morning, we bring the question before all of us. Do you have battle? Do you have battle in your life? You know, we look at some of our pastors. One of the application from pastor's sermon note, it says, or like Abram, look at the last page, the application. Look at the last page that says that, or like Abram, receiving the word, prayer, witnessing, and helping someone else to grow in his journey of faith. Now, do you have battle like I do? You know, when you witness, you were being rejected. Up front, the person reject you. You know, you help someone. Even at times, you try to mentor someone, you meet with the person. The person sometimes cold, sometimes hot, but you just find him cold most of the time. Will you still have faith? Keep going and trusting in partnership with God. You know, I want to share a personal testimony. How I exercise faith for this person. That has been about 26 years or more. Okay, I was a poly student at that time. And this is my classmate. His name is Ong Ling. So I remember, just like most of you, I share the gospel message to him in the canteen. You know, and at the end of it all, he said that I still prefer to be a Buddhist. And he still continued to do what he want to do as a Buddhist. But I continue to pray for him. You know, last Friday I received his WhatsApp message because I told him, hey, I thought I saw you. And long and short of it all is he told me that I am serving the Lord full time in church. You know, someone that is hardcore, that is Buddhist, is Buddhism. I will follow Buddhism. And if you go into his car, you'll see a lot of things. You know, and when he shared with me this, my faith just strengthened. As I remember 26 years ago, I have to do what I need to do. I partner with God, and God did his part. You know, and I realized one thing, that the application that Pastor have put up on is the going on faith, that I continue to trust God to see that He give me the produced fruit at the end of 26 years. I just want to read to you what he said. He was telling me that I'm serving in church now in the senior ministry. And I told him, yes, sir, I'm happy for you. When I was sharing God with you, you were like Saul. Impossible to believe in Jesus. But the impossible had happened. You are Paul today. And he say, amen. I was sharing Selena, you know, his wife, that I was like a little Saul. And then I'm a little Paul. Submit to his perfect work, a continuous work in progress. It's all in God's perfect timing. And he say this, it's your work along the way that contributes to God's kingdom. The rest is according to his timing. Thank you for your service. And I told him, all of us is saved by God's grace, so that none of us can boast. I'm so glad you are Paul now. So I'd like to pass this time back to Pastor.
You know, it's so refreshing to hear life stories, people who are willing to exercise faith just like Abram. And today, I'm going to do it slightly different from you, from usual. You got your notes, which you have waved just now, right? It's anointed by the Lord. Now, I'm going to go through these notes, and today I got no cartoons, no nothing, only the Word of God. So, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show my notes. It's a little bit bigger, but exactly the same layout as your notes. So everybody must have your copy. Then I'm going to do two things here that I like you to do. I like you to have a pen so that you'll make some remarks. And if you got a marker, if you don't have, you can borrow one. And I'm going to ask you to mark some keywords. Today, I'll not be a preacher. I'll be a teacher. Sorry, many years ago, you all went to school. And I also went to school. But today, we are going to be teacher and students. So can you humble yourself to be a little student? So when I ask you to write something you see in my notes, you also write. So when I ask you to mark something in your notes, you also mark. But if you got no marker, never mind, use your pen. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to follow this. Now, at the end of it today, when you go to your small groups, I like you to discuss based on the questions or by each of the parts. You think you can be a student today? A little bit different in a format, but I believe I'm trying to improve our learning skills. So you pray for me that I'll be a good teaching skills. All right, so the format slightly different. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for Jeff's testimony, Lord. It shows you are still alive, as in the days of Abraham. And today we want to receive going on faith as we hear your holy word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the passage today is based on chapter 13 and 14. And the key word here is found in chapter 13. And I've got here in my notes, we are talking of men who walk by faith. And we are now talking about Abraham's going on faith. How do we learn about faith? We contrast. Contrasting reactions help to understand what is faith. Last week we heard about going out of faith. So some of you asked some questions. One of you asked, when he went out, did he took the initiative to go out from the Ur of the Chaldees? No, he didn't. God told him, at the start of this whole journey, God gave him a promise. God always give a promise when he begins. So Abraham's faith was believing God's promise. You cannot have faith without a promise. So what was the promise last week we learned about? God's going out faith. It was what? That you will be fourfold blessings. There are fourfold blessings. I will bless you. I'll make you a blessing to many. I will bless those who bless you. Wow, that's a powerful thing. Huh? People have to bless you because if they want to be blessed by God, they have to bless you. And lastly, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Why through you? Because without you, God says, I'm not blessing anybody. You heard me? Without you, I am not blessing anybody. Just like Jeff was a blessing to Ong Lim. He was God's partner. So, this has to do with one new word that I like you to learn. And the word is called, in your notes down here, it is called going on faith is practiced only in covenant partnership with God. Oh, sorry, Ken. Thanks. Bit bigger now, can see? Now, I underline this, right? Going on faith is practiced only in, what's the word? Covenant partnership with God. Underline the word covenant partnership. That's a new word you are learning today. And the story about Abraham's victory. Why he was victorious? Because of what? Because of what? Covenant partnership. We have heard about covenant keeping. You have got covenant making. You today learn about covenant partnership. That's part of going on. Going on faith has to do with partnership. God did it, but you did it too. God did it, but God did it through you. God will not do it unless you are willing to partner with him. You see it in this story. So that's a key word I want you to take note of. There are many things here to learn, and I'd like you to read with me now this first verse, which is our key verse today, and it's found in Genesis, what? 13. All right, let's read it from here. From the Negev, all of us read, please. From the Negev, he went. Okay, that's good. But I think you can read better God's word because it's God's word. Let's read it a little bit with a bit umph. Okay, let's say it together. Genesis 13, 3 and 4. From the Negev, he place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent has been, and where he was built an altar. Then Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Good. So, Genesis 13, 3 and 4. You see, this was his going on faith. He had going on faith, which landed him all the way into Egypt. He has now come back to the first place where he had worship. The place is called Bethel, house of God. Abraham had returned to the house of God. That was the starting point. He had to start all over again. He was there in the house of God, Bethel, but he wandered off to Egypt. Now he has come back to starting point all over again. So the principle here is this, in my first point. From Egypt, Abraham returned to Bethel. Why? He had to start all over again. Now, how did he was to start? He had to return to worship. All right. But there's a word I like to introduce you to. The first thing that I like you to highlight for today is this phrase that I'm going to talk about. No faith, no future. All right, write that in your notes. No faith, no future. You have faith, great future. So you can write your own. Can you write something? Yeah, because this will assist in our learning process. You have faith in that. So the next word for you to write, the return to worship, is the word return to commitment. All right, maybe you write this word for me. No, I don't know whether it's 2T or 1T, never mind, commitment. He was there before, but he wasn't committed to learning the first steps. So it is taking instructions, a learning of returning to worship, but the commitment to worship. Because here in this phrase, can you take note? Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You see this phrase here. He called on the name of the Lord. He built an altar. The altar has already been built. He doesn't have to build another altar. He has been built that before. He started worship, but he didn't continue in worship. So now he renewed his commitment to worship, to calling upon the name of the Lord. That is not only prayer, but it is a statement of faith. You know, when you are in desperate, what do? You call on somebody's name. And the name here is the Lord. Now, what I'd like you to do for me is circle this word here in the first phrase. Can you circle the word Lord? Lord. He didn't call upon God just Most High. He called on the Lord. So in other words, his starting point of commitment is to God as the Lord. His boss. Remember we talked about Lord 3 weeks ago. Is what is Lord? Lord is acknowledging Jesus as the one who gives us life. L for life. Lord means what? I acknowledge Jesus is the owner. O. He's the landowner. He owns everything. He owns my life. And then R of Lord, what do you say? He was what? He's the ruler or the right to rule. He's boss. He doesn't have to explain anything. Whatever you say, I will do because he's my ruler. And then D stands for what? Sorry? Decision making. He is the one I'll consult for making my decision. He had earlier on gone to Egypt, but he didn't ask God whether he should go to Egypt. He just left. Now he has come back. But take note, in this verse earlier on, what did he do? Before he came back, he did what? He went from place to place. He tried his luck different places. But until he got back to the house of God, Bethel, he made no progress. So last week, we learned about his going out faith. Did he do very well? Maybe not so well. He left the Ur, the Chaldees, the Bible says, because his father was planning to go to the land of Canaan. But it was the father who took the initiative. It was not an act of faith. However, when he lived in Haran after a while, he woke up and realized only at age 75, he realized that's not where God had called him to be. God had called him to be in Canaan. Hey, guys, girls, don't wait until you are 75. Start early to know what God wants you to do. God always gives one instruction, and until you do so, there is no second instruction. So in Haran, God never speak to him. He woke up and remembered, God told me to go to land of Canaan. What am I doing here in Johor Bahru? Haran. So he went from place to place. And then now come back to the house of God. It's always the case. Come back to the house of God. Now, so in this return to worship, he had to learn the beginning. So in your notes, you say the beginning of faith, your beginning. What are some of the beginning things you do? Well, the beginning habits. Habits like what? Reading the Word of God. Habits like what? Worshiping God. Habits like what? Witnessing. Witnessing is just talking. Talking about what? Talking about what is important. And Jeff has shared, as a student in poly, he had spoken to his classmates. And so, did it work? It worked, but it took 26 years. It finally worked. He did his part, God did the rest. So, this is going back to the basics. And one of the basics we often do is that we come to the Lord, the first initial coming to hear the Word of God sounds very good. I begin to learn things. But after a while, there's an English phrase that says, familiarity breeds contempt. Even if it's a good thing, we get used to, we take for granted. We take for granted our time of worship, a time of just getting together and learning, when God says, do not make it a habit of being absent. So, it's about habits. It's about establishing good habits, spiritual habits, like prayer, learning how to pray, and learning the significance of the cross and so on. We have to start from the beginning. So starting from the beginning is doing the things that we call our basics to Christian living. So if you are now reading the Bible every day, calling upon the name of the Lord, then I would say, yes, you have returned to the basics. If you are one of those who feel, I must make time every day for my devotion, I will spend time with the Lord, my first cut priority is God, the Lord. If you are one of those who are facing battles, and the first reaction is, Lord, what do I do? I'm your partner. What is this word here? Covenant partnership. Lord, I'm your covenant partner. So coming back to the house of God is now joining with God as a partner. Because that is what covenant means. Covenant means becoming a partner with God. Okay? Covenant partnership means I am joining with God as partners. And it's a covenant that God will help me. God will do His part. I will do my part. Because we are partners. So, one thing you must never do if you are a partner of God is to tell God, God, I commit my children to you to take care. Have you heard Christians say, oh, my children are so rebellious, but don't worry, I commit them to God to take care. Hey, God is your mate, is it? No, you don't commit to God to take care because God committed it to you to take care. So He's the boss, you're the worker. Don't pass the job back to God, all right? So this is the first thing about getting back to the beginning. It is renewing your commitment. The second thing about starting from the beginning is to return to basics of walking with God. And I want to say that I use the word change. Can you write this word change in your notes? I must be in a process of change. Because he went from place to place. Yes, initially, Abraham wasn't very spiritually strong. He was not strong in faith. Even he went to Haran on the way to Canaan. He was on the way to Canaan. Chapter 11 says that the father, Terah, was the one who took the initiative and he followed. It happened to be on the way. But his father decided to settle down in Haran. One question asked is, was Haran dead when he left for Canaan? The answer is no. Mr. Terah was still strong and hearty. He was age 147. And he died at it. What age? 205. If you have been reading your Bible, you know he died at 205. So he still got how many? 40 plus years to go. And so his retirement home was built in Haran on the east side of the river. But good thing, Abram was a bit slow, but he grew and he learned fast. When the moment he got back to Bethel, he began to run fast with God. That's the time when he began to show. Chapter 13 and 14, he began to blossom like all of you, you know, as you return to a place. Because he was willing to change. Change from what? Change from looking for food to looking for God's plans. Now, the one that I'd like you to underline here is the daily habit produced faith. All right. Can you take note? It's a daily habit. That's the return. And that's the change you need to implement. If you really want to be a man of faith and to see God's power in your life, you have to change. As Abram changed, he changed. A bit slow in the beginning, but now he's picking up momentum. He's a learner. He's a good learner. And he began to change because he had daily habits. He changed. He returned to Bethel. Then thirdly, he chose his fellow traveler. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this. Before we go on, what constitutes the beginning? Now, can you write these notes below your paper? Okay, these are additional notes under B. All right, you got it under B, right? So because we say, what constitutes change? All right, so the word is change. Because this is the part that unless you change, your faith don't grow. All right, so I've got some footnote here, which you can write in your own notes. What constitutes change? All right, the first thing that constitutes change is your values. And your values is reflected by your worldview. You're adopting God's worldview. All the time, we pick up a lot of worldviews like Lot. Our worldview is worldly. We talk about, hey, how much is your salary in this job? What's the future? What's the investment like? Hey, got free tickets from Hong Kong. How to get free ticket? You all look so innocent. You didn't talk about this. Got free, buy one, get one free. That's what you're getting today. But what is your adoption? There's a new alignment. Now he's beginning to depend on God. And he demonstrated so. Then secondly, what is it's a change in habit. What is the change in habit from bad to good? Habits have changed either from bad to good or good to better or good to holy. And then you are from being a crude person to be a noble person. A crude person cracks dirty jokes, use foul language, but the noble person is kind, is gracious, He doesn't always say, I must win. And you soon see that's what Abram was. He was noble. Although his nephew rode on his coattail, so to speak, to become wealthy, yet he was gracious to his nephew. All the way, not once, not twice, but many more. We talk about that. We're going to see how he did it. For instance, your Bible reading, your prayer time, your devotion, your Sabbath keeping. Do you know the Sabbath keeping is a command? Some say no. New Testament, God never say the command. Hey, the Bible is not New Testament, you know. The Bible starts with the Old Testament, Genesis. So you don't expect the writer to say it in chapter 2 and then repeat it in chapter 5, chapter 10. What kind of book is that? So the Bible says in Exodus 31:13 that this Sabbath is a sign between you and me, God says. And the sign is that you are my chosen people. It's a sign. We said it's a sign that you are God's people. Oh, it's too troublesome. Sometimes it rains, and then we can change here, change there. Yeah, but that's a sign. Sabbath keeping. Blessing others. So this is, God said, I make you a blessing to many. That is a sign. That every time you try to be a blessing to someone, that is a sign that you have changed. Because I just started, the promise was fourfold blessing. Okay. Skills. Are you learning new skills every time? You know why people get dementia? They never develop skills. Motor skills. Mental skills. Witnessing skills. Talking about Jesus skills. Bible reading skills. Hey, there are a lot of skills you can learn, and that makes life very interesting. If you are one of those skilled, I know the government is trying to persuade Singaporeans by giving money. They call it skills future. That's good. Hey, can you learn some skills for your future in your walk with God? All right, now, skills you need to develop in edifying. One of the skills I ask God to help me is how to have edifying conversations. Do you know, folks? Okay, I'm talking to the married people now. One of the skills we married men need to learn is how to have skills in conversation with the wife. You ask me, why so? That's why we all quarrel, because we got no skill. Okay. The wife got skill, but the husband got no skill. So, we end up quarreling. But conversation skill about how to talk to people in every situation. How do you engage people? Whether he be the president of a company or whether he's just a lowly janitor. What is your conversation skill? And you find that Abram was able to have skill in talking to the locals. In this passage, you have read that he is called Abram the Hebrew. He speaks Hebrew. Mashalom ha. I talked to one Muslim friend yesterday. You say, Shalom Aleichem. And he said, Shalom Alakum. I say, yes, it's the same. How do you have this skill to engage people? I always ask God, God, give me skill to engage with people so that I don't waste their time, I don't waste my time, but I'll glorify Jesus. And equipping in spiritual growth, do you have this skill? So one, these are some of the major changes God wants to implement, and you'll find that Abram was in this business. Now, turn to your next page. And this is how, in Parak 2, this is how Abram demonstrated how he was a partner. What partner? Say together with me. Covenant partner. Okay. Covenant partner. Say with me, I am a covenant partner with God. Say it to me, I am a covenant partner with God. Okay, when you do that, you'll find that Abraham now is going to show us how. All right. These are all from the passages that you have read. So Abraham's going on faith can be learned from the contrast between him and Lot. So the step one, he came to Bethel. He came to the house of God. He never depart from the house of God. What's the situation? He returned where he should begin. In Christian life, you have to start from the beginning. What is the beginning? The promises of God. Do you know that Abraham's promise, there were 7, I give you 4. But God also said, what are the other 3? God says, I'll make your name great. That means you're going to make a difference in the world. I'm going to make you a great nation. That means you're going to be impacting people. And then thirdly, okay, these 2 are already very good. I'll make you a great name. I'll make you a great nation. And then I will protect you by what? Those who curse you, I will curse. Hey, folks, that's a very powerful word. Please don't curse people. But God says, if they curse you, I will curse him. I found in life that to be true. So that's why we can be afford to be generous. And so what he had to get back to the basics by waiting upon God, calling upon the name of God, getting back to partnership with God. Secondly, contrast it with Lot. What did Lot see? Now, if you are looking at your Bible, they had a quarrel. The Bible says both of them got so rich. And so they had to part company. Now, take note in your notes here that, by the way, in the Genesis 12 was the place where God made the promises. So what happened to him? Okay, underline, he was looking at visible existing benefits. Underline the word. What is existing and what is benefit? What was the benefit? He observed. What did he see? He saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered. Now, you know, water is very important. So the word is well watered. The Jordan Valley, like Egypt, where he had been before. That's what he saw, what is visible. So, what did he do? This is what he saw, so this is what he do. He chose the whole plain. And the whole plain is all the way from Galilee, all the way down to a place, the south of the Dead Sea, which is called Sodom. The problem is this, 3 things. He pitches then near the Sin City. Initially, he wasn't living in Sodom. He just pitched nearby only. He said, no, that's an evil city. I don't stay in that evil city. I will pitch my tent outside. But gradually, what happened? He moved his tent inside. And then he committed what is called spiritual adultery. Now, what is adultery? Adultery is when you have a covenant relationship with someone, in this case with God, but then you don't mind living with other gods. You don't mind living with other gods, even though you have a covenant relationship with the God of Abraham. Shifting loyalty, that's spiritual adultery. Loyalty switch. Then he disregarded the spiritual climate. After all, he can make money. He's looking at financial benefits, not spiritual climate. Thirdly, he disregarded God's view. That is what we call unfaith, unfaithfulness. You know about faithfulness? What is unfaithfulness? Well, these are the three things. When a person does this, we call it unfaithful. Unfaithful. To him, it's plain as day, he did not consult God. Not consult God. So, can you underline these few words? Because this is a reflect of what we call not being a partner with God. This is the opposite of being God's partner. Hey, if you're God's partner, you don't do these four things. But Lot was having a worldview that everybody holds. Where to invest? Hey, must buy property. Everybody is rushing to buy condo. I must also buy one condo. And so on. So following the crowd, that's what the worldview is. But what was the difference that we need to contrast? Abraham was different. He was a covenant partner with God. And you see it more and more here. Abraham listened to the Lord. That's step number one. Chapter 13. If you open your Bible, you'll find that chapter 13, verse 14, I give you the reference here. He listened to God because God has things to tell him. He got time for God. Lord had got no time for God. He was in big hurry. Hey, since we got a part company, where shall I take? I take the best land, the best real estate. But then what happened to him? He separated from God's materialistic influence. Sometimes, to choose fellow travelers, you have to cut off being influenced by people who are materialistic, who cannot see beyond this life, who cannot see eternity as the place of the greatest joy. And he saw. And what did he do? Abram did it. He promised. God promised land. Now, this is the first time God promised land. Why can God promise land? Because he's a landowner. He's the landowner. He decides who gets what piece of land. Even today, it still holds. And he's go by promise. So God made him a fresh promise. And so, Abram's worldview was godly. The book of Hebrews say he was looking for a city not built with hands. And then he confirmed one more thing. Abraham's offspring would be many, innumerable. Abraham's offspring. Now, all of us have got children. Your offspring are destined to be great. Invest on them. Abram looked where God instructed. God said, north, east, north, south, east, west. That's the promise. What is it? From the river Nile all the way to the river Euphrates, the Persian Gulf, to the Suez Canal. That belongs to him. That's allocated. Faithfulness. He stayed faithful to God's values. So, what did he do? This is the decision he made. Can you underline this? Abram sought future blessings rather than immediate gratification. The Bible says he obeyed. And underline the key word so. Can you see this word so? So. So means after hearing this, he responded. That's the word so. Every time you read in the Bible, so. You have to look up further. Hey, so what? Earlier on God said, right, I'm going to give you this. It's all about to do with promises. Hey, you cannot be God's partner without taking all of his promises. If God says so, he will do. But do you believe that? Even though the immediate seems to be not very promising. Then can you see the contrast? One is a worldview of the secular world. The other is a godly worldview. So this is the difference. One did not wait for God. It's plain as day. This is the best place to go. But for Abram, it was, God, what have you got to say? God has to tell me things. Thanks. And then we look back now. What's the result? So in these two chapters, we see the decisions made by Abram as a partner of covenant, as the other who was a covenant breaker. He doesn't even bother about God. And so what's the outcome? The outcome is this. Lot got into trouble very fast. You know, this applies even today to Christians. The first sign of departure from the Lord is what? Underline these words. Loss of goods, loss of freedom, and later on the Bible says loss of food. Food, goods, freedom. These three things was the first sign of departure. You are no more in covenant with God. This will always happen. As a wake-up call. All right. So, how did it happen? All right. Can you note the word, the war? The war came. It's called 4 Kings versus 5. All right. Let me tell you the story of the 4 Kings versus 5. 4 kings from the west. Some of their names are not so easy to pronounce. And there was a war going on. And if you look at chapter 14, these are unpronounceable names. Verse 1 says, chapter 14, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in the days of the following people, Amraphel, king of Shinar." This is not China, by the way, Shinar. It's west of the Euphrates, east of the Euphrates River. Ariok, king of Elasar. And then another one, the most strongest among them is Kedor La Omer. I know most people can't even pronounce his name. Say with me. Kedor La Omer. Can you say it? You just spoke Hebrew. This was the most powerful of the all. And they attacked 5 kings. It's 4 versus 5. The 5 was the kingpin of the 5 was Sodom, Gomorrah, Zeboim, and two more, Zeboim and Zoar and Etna. Do you know that all these 5 were scheduled for destruction? Sodom, Gomorrah, Etna, Zeboim. You find these names resurfacing again later on in scriptures. Destined for destruction because they were evil. And they were powerful at that time. They were wealthy. But they lost everything. One of the first signs that we do not keep covenant with God, or out of covenant with God, is that you lose what? Your freedom. You lose your land. You lose your food. You lose your goods. And strangely, Kedar La Omer was looking for the richest man in Sodom. Guess who was that? Of course, Lot. He had a lot of money. So it doesn't matter how you call yourself Lot, a lucky name, Lot. But he lost the whole lot. And he was taken captive. Fortunately, somebody escaped and reported to Abram. So that was lost. Please note, covenant partners never lose. because God protects it. And what was the kind of so Lot left everything. So underline this word for me. Was Lot's worldview influenced by the evil spiritual climate? If you're all the time exposing yourself to just spiritual wrong spiritual climate, my question is, do you think you'll be influenced? If all you hear are the things of the world but not the word of God, do you think you'll be influenced? Especially in this time of the internet, we don't understand what's going on. Even the war in Ukraine. Because all of us are the world is just observing what's in the physical realm, but they don't understand what's happening in the spiritual realm. But if you understood this story, you'll get a little bit more insight what is happening behind the scene. Why is Putin fighting? And the Mandarin newspaper say, Putin fighting. 是不停的. You know, Putin means he doesn't want to stop. And that's right, he doesn't want to stop. But why? There are spiritual factors behind it. So, Lot was rescued, right? But did he change? Underline this word. He did not change. Because few years later, the Bible says the word catastrophe came and there was greater loss. He had a wake-up call, but he didn't wake up. That's characteristic of many Christians too. There's a wake-up call, but he didn't wake up. And so all was lost. He lost a whole lot of his goods. And he lost his freedom. In fact, later on, he became a prisoner. And thank God that Abram was a covenant keeper. He went out by night. Can you imagine? Abram had 318 men under him, well trained, but what were they trained in? Hey, they are farmers, you know. They are shepherds. They were herdsmen. So I guess they knew how to weave the staff, and then they just have to put a sharp point and change it into a spear, maybe. I really don't know how Abram did the training, but I admire that he was a trainer. And he went out immediately with what he had. Each of the kings would probably have at least one battalion, correct? ANS Fox. Every king, do you think they had at least one battalion? I don't think they went out with a platoon, correct or not? No kings go out to fight with one platoon. They traveled so far from the west to the cross the Jordan River and so on. He has to be battalion plus because you need support, you need logistics, you need transport along. You have to have people take care of the camels and so on. And the logistics, the water. You need a fairly big army. There are four kings from the east. And Sodom and Gomorrah has been paying them in gold every year. So he got into trouble. The permanent so-called Christians find himself in trouble. Check it out in the spiritual realm. There is a break in the covenant. Abraham's blessing, all right, in closing. How did it work? So, first of all, we are told, can you underline this word? Example of outcome of covenant partner. Add one word, partner here. Outcome of partner. Can see? Yeah, he was a partner, you know. God promises good outcome for his partners. He promises nothing for anybody else. So we say just now, we are told, why did Abraham win? Because he had a big army? No, he had only 318 farmers against four battalions. But how did he win? We just told by Jeff, it's all the spiritual realm. Underline this word, spiritual realm. And that means God sent angels. God operates in the spiritual realm. And God did it. That's what the prophet, the priest Melchizedek said so. God did it. But Abraham also did it. Abram did it. How did he do? Well, firstly, he was a good, he knew how to be allied. In other words, he's good in conversation. He got skill. Who did he ally with? There are three names there, if you read in this passage. There's a guy called Anna, and another guy called Mamre, and there's a third guy called Eshcol. Eshcol means grapes. Obviously, he owned a big grape farm out there in Hebron. And that Mamre owns a lot of trees. He's a forester. So the Bible says Abraham liked to sit under the trees of Mamre. So the trees were previously owned by Mamre. This man is obviously a rich man. And another guy, Anna, I don't know much about Anna. But they're all what? Hittites. Okay. You know, the Bible talks about Hittites, parasites. Not parasite. Okay. I know a lot of people say termites and so on. There are no termites, but they are the local Canaanite people. And he made friends with them. So that in the war, they came out with to help them. Beside the 318, he had assistance from these local Hittites people. He was good in conversation. The important is to be victorious. He defeats kings. Now, when this happened, take note that Abram, the first thing he did was 10% of everything. Underline the word offering. The moment God gives victory, he gives what? An offering. When the Lord bless you, can you give an offering? Because an offering is an expression of your gratitude. It's an expression that God did it. That's why I give an offering. I made so much money. And I know God did it because in Deuteronomy 8:18, God says that he is the one who gave me the ability to gain wealth. So I'll give at least 10%. My offering is an expression of acknowledging that God did it. So in covenant partners, you do your part by faith, God will do it. In everything, just now we heard that story, God did it. And God is so patient, 26 years. And if you ask Jeff how he felt, I'm sure he felt cloud nine, that God was faithful. So likewise, whatever you do, even your witnessing, if people don't say yes, hey, take note, it is going to come. I was also in school, secondary school. I tried to witness to my classmates, and they all laugh at me. They give me a new name, you know. My name was called Holy Man. Ah, that's a very nice name, right? But the problem, my classmates say, ha, 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 full of holes here. So it went on. But today, many of my classmates have trusted the Lord. I count at least 7 or 8. 8 of them. 2 of them join us here. But God never wastes our effort because we are partners. God operates with covenant partners. Question is, are you willing to be a partner? So when you are, as long as you are willing to be a partner, just take note the difference. A partner cannot be like Lot. You have to be like Abram, showing faith when there's a crisis. You're just trusting God. Always trusting God's promises. Always waiting for God to give instructions. Always consulting God, making time for God. Always coming back to Bethel, the house of God. What's your faith journey like? Can the worship team come up now? Abram came back to the house of God. Many of you have come back to the house of God. But are you starting from square one? Worship. Doing the basics. Acquiring godly values like Abram did. Acquiring habits like Abraham did. He was in a habit of listening to God, taking on God's promises, and then always increasing in skill. He could be a strategist. He learned fast. When he left Ur, he was a beginner. But now, back in Bethel, a man of power, because he is a covenant partner with God. Shall we just respond in our song?
I came unto the gathering of the people of the Lord and found my way among them to His throne. I needed to return unto the altar of my God to renew again my covenant with Him. And there I built an altar to His name and realized my life would never be the same. And then the fires of revival will come sweeping through my soul, and I touch the holy presence of my God. Come build an altar unto the Lord. Return to worship and hear His word. And then the fires of revival will come sweeping through your soul and will touch the holy presence of my God.
You need to renew your covenant with the Lord. You need to renew your love for the Lord. Maybe renew your commitment to come back to the house of the Lord. Maybe to renew the spiritual habits. You need to bring change, a new commitment to God's promises and God's instructions and God's will, a new commitment to obey the Lord your God, and perhaps to change your lifestyle, forsaking the worldview of the secular world to adopt God's worldview and values, perhaps to have the habits of witnessing and doing things as a partner. Maybe you want to renew your partnership with the Lord. Just tell Him, Lord, I want to be your covenant partner, just as you did it and give victory to Abraham. Lord, I want to partner with you to bring about that victory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Abraham, the man of faith who knew how to be a covenant partner with you. And that, Lord, although you were all powerful, yet, Lord, you needed a partner, and he was willing to grow, to learn fast, to be a partner in faith, to do with what he had, and to trust you. To look to the things that are eternal rather than the things that are material. So Lord, as we come before you and check our own journey of faith, may we never stop But we always keep growing and we always trusting you as your partner. And we'll never bring shame to your name because we're your partners. So Father, I bless every person here who have made that covenant with you to be your partner, that they will begin to see the same blessings that you gave to Abraham. The blessing that you said you bless him with, a great blessing, and you make him a blessing to many, and you bless those who bless them, and that you will use them to bless many other families that are on the face of the earth. Lord, let this promise be so real to each one of us that we want to bless others because we are recipients of your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for accepting us as your partners in this covenant relationship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.